many people around the country and around the world, today kind of represents a new beginning. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I've approached a new beginning such as, well, I think in particular the first big new beginning I ever experienced was moving off to college. When I got ready to move to Valdosta on my own for the first time, whenever I've approached a milestone beginning in my life, there's a lot of excitement that comes along with that. Experiencing new things is exciting. Being able to do something you've never done before, go places you've never been before, that's an exciting opportunity. But with those new beginnings, with that excitement, sometimes there's a little bit of hesitancy. Sometimes there's a little scariness that comes along with it. Sometimes we're apprehensive because we may not know what's going to happen. And as we stand here today at the beginning of the new year, there's no one in this room who knows what's going to happen between now and December 31st. We just don't know. But I would say we have a great opportunity to be able to live in this new year, 2023. 3 years ago, we were excited for 2020. We all know how that went. But we've been given a gift from God, an opportunity to be able to move forward. And I think as people, sometimes we love this idea of being able to move forward, being able to put behind whatever it is that we've done in the past to start anew and just move on and not remember what we're leaving behind, but focus on what we're heading to. And I think for us, New Year's, New Beginnings represents this ability to walk away from the past and move forward to a brighter future. If you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 8. And going along with this concept of leaving behind the past and moving forward to a new, brighter future, I think this story that we see that Bill read this morning, a portion of it, is one that is, I think, really meaningful, should be very meaningful to each and every one of us in this room today. Because I would say this story certainly represents someone who is truly able to put a past behind and move forward to a brighter future. Now, in John 8, we're told that the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who had been caught in sin. And specifically, the sin she had been caught in was she had committed adultery. Now, we're not told the extent of what happened here. We're just simply told that she had committed adultery. And we know that she was guilty of this sin that she had been accused of. But we really don't know much more details than that. Okay, we just know she was guilty of that. One thing we also know about this sin during this time in which it's taking place was that there were clear punishments according to the old law about what would happen to a person who was caught in the sin. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10 says, if a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And in Ezekiel 16, verse 38 through 40, it specifies that they would be put to death by being stoned to death, which certainly would not have been a pleasant death. But these are very severe punishments for this time. And we know that this woman who was being brought to Jesus was guilty. We know that the men who brought this woman to Jesus knew what the law said, knew what should have happened to the woman. But we also know their motive behind bringing this woman to Jesus. They weren't seeking justice. They weren't trying to follow the law that had been given to them. But we're told in verse 6, it said, they said to test him, talking about Jesus, that they might have some charge to bring against him. You see, they weren't looking for justice. They weren't looking to fulfill the law. They were simply looking to trap Jesus. I mean, in the process, they were willing to condemn this woman in order to do that. But through this encounter, I think everyone learned a great lesson from Jesus. And this woman became someone who truly got to experience a new beginning. Maybe something that she hadn't even imagined could have happened to her. She was able to experience a new beginning. So this morning, for just a few minutes, what I want us to do is take a look at this lesson through the perspective of moving forward. Moving forward into this new year, not knowing at all what may happen, through the perspective of leaving behind whatever it is we're leaving behind. And I want us to see what we can learn from this account of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. Number one, I think the first lesson that we get from the story, is that our past does not have to define who we are today. So we know that this woman, she was guilty. She was wrong. There's no arguing that. The men who brought this woman to Jesus knew she was in the wrong. Jesus knew this woman had sinned, knew that she was in the wrong. And she had probably developed a bad reputation for what it was she had done. Okay? Now, again, we really don't know much about what happened leading up, to this woman being in the place that she was in. But as these men were trying to find someone guilty to test Jesus, they probably knew of this situation, perhaps maybe for a long time. We really don't know. But they knew she was someone who had been in this act. And chances are she had developed a bad reputation for what it was she had done. Now, I think it's interesting. This concept of a person's reputation is really intriguing to me. It's always been fascinating to me, because a good reputation is something that takes someone years to build. And we know that. We know that to be true. There's a lot of you in here who have good reputations throughout the church, throughout the community. And that's not something that happens overnight. But to me, perhaps the more fascinating thing is something, a reputation, being something that takes years to build, years to get, for people to look at you in a good light through a good report. This morning in Bible class, we talked about Luke chapter 2, verse 52, where we're told Jesus grew in favor with God and men. He had a favorable reputation with men. But it may take years for someone to gain a reputation, but it can just really take a matter of seconds to lose that. Such a fascinating concept to me. It's always been fascinating that something that takes that long to grow and to become a good reputation can be destroyed in the matter of seconds. And oftentimes, it can be destroyed by just one maybe quick decision or maybe one deliberate decision. It varies, I guess, from person to person. But it is something that can be taken away in just a matter of time. See, this woman, she had developed a bad reputation. She had been found in this relationship that was deemed ungodly and illegal by the law. But in this instance, she was able to walk away with a new opportunity to move forward, thanks to Jesus. I think sometimes we can feel burdened down by past mistakes, things we've done in the past that maybe we can't get out of our minds, or we feel like we just can't move forward. And I think in some cases, for us as Christians, it's important to look back. Not in the sense of looking back and dwelling on what it is you've done, just sit and constantly regret it to the point to where you can't move forward. That's not what I'm talking about. But I think sometimes it's important for us to look back and realize and just remember what we were. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Paul, he's talking to a group of people, and in this context here, he's just given a list of, literally a pretty lengthy list of sins. We'll go back and read it. Verse 9, it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But verse 11 to me is so interesting here. It says, "And such were some of you." He's talking to a group of people who have been named among this list. And we look at this list and say, "Well, that sounds pretty bad to me. I would never be like that." But he's talking to a group of people that were like these people. He says, "And such were some of you." We don't need to look back and regret, constantly dwell on things we've done in the past. But sometimes it's important to look back, remember what we were, so that we can be thankful, knowing that we don't have to be that anymore because of God. And I think that's something that's really important for us to remember. When we look at this example of this woman caught in sin, I think there comes a realization that every single man, every single person who brought this woman forward to Jesus had some kind of sin in their life. How do we know that? Let's go back to the text. Let's begin with verse 7. It said, "And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, 'Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her.' And once more he bent down and wrote in the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him." So we come to this realization that all of these people who were accusing this woman had some sort of sin in their life. Was it the same sin of the woman they were trying to condemn? Maybe not. Maybe it was. We don't know. But what we do know is that each and every person who is a Christian, who is in this room, has had, or has, I don't know, some kind of sin that has separated us from God at one time or another. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You see, I think what we learn here is that these men were no different than this woman that they were trying to condemn. They were guilty. They were sinful. And And one thing that Jesus understands here is their spirit here. They were trying to not only trap Jesus, but they were willing to sacrifice this woman's life in order to trap Jesus in some way. I think it's interesting here that it's the older men who seem to recognize that they were sinners first. Notice what the scripture said. It said they walked away starting with the oldest to the youngest. There's a good chance, you know, we've got a mixture of older and younger people in this room. Probably, you know, those of you who are the oldest in this room have had the most sins in the past. Why? Well, you've lived a lot longer. You've learned a lot more. Probably committed a lot more sins than those who are younger here. But I think the older people, you know, also have an understanding of how easy it is for someone to fall into sin. But for those of us who have fallen into sin, who have experienced what God can do for us, we should also have an understanding of God's grace and God's patience. Peter, he said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." A lot of people in society today look at religion and look at God and say, God wants to condemn you. That's not true. That's a lie that the world is telling. We know here that God wants everyone to come to repentance. This is the same God who allowed the earth, you know, 100+ years to come around while he was preparing his plan to destroy the earth. And you've got to believe if people more than the initial 8 turned around, they would have been added to that group who was saved. God is patient. And I think us today, we need to realize that because God is patient, because we have God's grace, we don't have to look back at our past and allow that to define us. But because God does offer us forgiveness, number 2, we have the ability to move on. We don't have to be defined by our past, but we do have the ability to move on. And we should be thankful that we serve a God of second chances. Throughout the Bible, we've seen so many examples, so many accounts of people who not only receive second chances, but third and so on and so on. We serve a God who is willing to give us as many chances as it needs to do what's right. But of course, we do need to come to the understanding that we also serve a God of the final chance, which means there is going to come a time where we're not going to have any more opportunities to obey his word. People like Jonah received a second chance. Now, granted, we know his story. We know what it took for him to come to this realization that what he had done was wrong. He was literally eaten up by a fish in the ocean, stayed there 3 days and 3 nights, which is this supernatural miracle that happened. He should have died. And of course, he was given an opportunity to go back and preach God's word to Nineveh. Paul was someone who was able to receive a second chance after just simply, well, quite honestly, murdering Christians. Now, we don't have any scriptural reference of him being in the act of doing that, but we do have reference of him watching, and while others did murder Christians, that's what happened with Stephen. Paul essentially held their coats while they killed him. But he received a second chance by God. He had an opportunity to to come back. Peter received a second chance from God. Now, the night Jesus was crucified, probably no one felt as bad as Peter did because of what he had done. Three times he was spotted. Three times he was associated with as one who was with Jesus, and he denied it all three times. The last time he was even cursing and swearing. But he was given another opportunity from Jesus to come back and carry on the plan that he did initially carry on. So we should be thankful that we serve a God of second chances. But we also need to come to this understanding that though God does give us second chances, we need to understand that we can't keep sinning and we can't keep repeating these same sins. Let's begin reading with verse 10. Notice what Jesus said. He said, Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." Now, Jesus did not condemn this woman to the death that the law specified at that time. But he did also say, from now on, go and don't do this again. That's our responsibility, and that's quite honestly one of the most difficult things we have to do, is to completely turn away from the life that we once lived. Like Paul said to the people in Corinthians, "And such were some of you." They had to completely turn away from their sin. This woman had the opportunity to completely turn away from the sin she was caught in. Though we do mess up, though God does offer us second chances, we can't keep living in sin. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Beginning with verse 1, Paul, he's writing to this group of people, and he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" Basically, the question he's proposing here is he's saying, are you thinking that if you sin more, you can get more grace from God? Is that this mindset you have? I want to get as much as God's grace as I can, so I'm just going to sin as much as I can. Notice his response here. In verse 2, he says, "By no means." Absolutely not. Certainly not. That's not how you need to be living. "How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." That's not how it works. He's not saying sin as much as you can so you can get more of God's grace. No. You've died to sin. You've put it away. Stop sinning. And that's what Jesus tells this woman. "I'm not going to condemn you to death like these men wanted me to do. But go, and from now on, do not sin." We need to forget the past. That's hard to do. It's hard for a lot of us to do. We need to forget the past. We need to move on. Paul, and this scripture is probably going to be preached at a lot of different places today. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul, he says, beginning with verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what our focus needs to be. Forget it, what's behind. What was Paul forgetting in this moment? Maybe he was perhaps forgetting all of the things he had done before he became a Christian. Maybe that was something he needed to forget. Now, he brought it up at many times, several times in the New Testament, what he was. But he didn't dwell on it. He said, I need to forget it. What else did he need to leave behind? Maybe he needed to leave behind his past successes as a Christian. If we look back, if we continually look back and say, oh, here's what I've done for God, here's what I did way back then, we're not doing anything. I'll tell you this, I've heard this my whole life. I hear it less and less because a lot of this generation is not here anymore, quite honestly. But growing up in the Church of Christ, oh, you should have seen what it was like in the 1950s. It was the fastest growing religion in the world, which is true, by the way. But it's not anymore. We can't just stand back and look at the past successes and say, look what I've done. I'm good now. I've done my time. No. We have to forget everything, both good and bad, and keep pressing forward to do more good. So, I think from this lesson, we learn that the past doesn't have to define us. Simply because God offers us forgiveness and allows us to move on. But the last thing that I want to bring up this morning is this. What we do with our opportunity to move on, what we do with our second chances, is entirely up to us. Jesus, he told the woman, he said, go and from now on, do not sin. And I'm pretty positive, even though the scripture doesn't say this, I'm pretty positive she sinned after this moment, because that's what we do, right? We're humans, we mess up. But she was given an opportunity to completely change her life from that moment forward. When God gives us opportunities, we have to react accordingly. That being said, he doesn't force us to react. This woman didn't have to get out of this adulterous relationship she was in. Jesus didn't force her to. He didn't make her. But the choice was hers. God does not force us to do anything. We do have the ability of free will. We have the opportunity to do what it is we want to. King David, he committed numerous sins over a short amount of time, big ones, big sins, as you know, we shouldn't categorize that, but we do, right? I mean, he had someone sentenced to death. He essentially was a murderer. He didn't physically kill the man, but he gave the orders. And based on the law, this same law that this woman was under, King David should have been put to death along with Bathsheba. But God granted him forgiveness. And David made the most of that opportunity. We do know that David was faithful to God after that occasion. God allowed him to live. God spared his life and even told him, he said, I'm not going to take your life. Which was something that clearly needed to be said. Why? Because the law was, you're going to be put to death. But God didn't. And he made the most of that opportunity. God doesn't force us to follow his commands. He does give us the ability to decide. Right after this story, in verse 12, and I kind of hate how sometimes the versions of the Bibles we have separate chapters into headings, because sometimes we, We tend to focus on what's just in this section and separate it from this section. But keep in mind, this is supposed to run together. Verse 12, shortly after the story, and this is one of those places where the heading is completely separate from the story of the woman caught in adultery, says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" That's our lesson. That's what we have to do to move forward. We follow Jesus. We walk in that light because that's where God is. That's where Jesus is. So, as we approach this new year, I think it's important for us to be mindful of the fact that whatever we've done, you know, last year, it doesn't have to define who we are. Sometimes we're going to carry over consequences with us. That's just how life works. But we don't have to let that past define us, because God does offer second chances. But it's up to us whether we're going to take it, whether we're going to do something with it. This was meant to be a positive lesson for everyone this morning. Hopefully, everyone in here is ready to put away 2022 and walk into 2023, ready, willing to follow God, ready, willing to do whatever it takes to bring more people to His kingdom. If there's anyone here this morning who has never obeyed His word, then you have an opportunity to do that this morning through faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as God's Son, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You can leave here this morning a child of God, ready to live for Him and to bring more people with you. And it may be that you're here this morning and you've done these things and just simply you've fallen back. We all do it. We all sin. We all mess up. This woman in this story, she sinned. She messed up. Jesus told her, go on and sin no more. That's the opportunity we have today. So if there's anything in your life you need to make right this morning, if you want to give your life to God, you can do that this morning. Whatever you need, please come while we stand and sing.